This tape is for the Pittsburgh section of the National Council of Jewish Women. It's the oral history number 2. I am Irene Ellman, and I'm interviewing Rabbi Sholem Posner. Rabbi, would you tell us about your childhood in Europe?
Yes, not as I remember. What would you like to know about my childhood?
Well, I'd like to know what you remember about your home life, your religious training. Then possibly you can go into your...
All I remember from my home is only religious training.
Only religious training. Where was your home? I don't know where your home was.
It was in a little town in Russia. Mm-hmm. My home was strict religion home, and our training was strict religion. When we grew up, I, for instance, went to Shiva to learn, so I remained the same type of strength. My brother, sister, they didn't go to Shiva to learn.
How many brothers did you have and how many sisters?
I had 3, and I got 1 who was still in Kiev.
One is still in Russia?
I had 2 sisters. I got now 1 sister who lives in Israel.
Do you keep in touch with your brother in Russia?
Yes. Not too often, because it seems he's afraid to write too often.
He's afraid to?
So from time to time, he's doing
it. Has he made any effort to leave Russia?
Mm-hmm. He would like to leave Russia, but his wife, and when I got it, they don't like to live. But they did the age to get pension. Still, I think it's too late again to move out to another country to start from me to build up a home and everything. Happy to do now. And there.
How old is your brother?
My brother will be 60.
I see. And at what age are they given a pension in Russia?
I think 62.
In other words, once they receive their pension, they have enough money to live comfortably or reasonably.
According to the standard of life, we are right for that. They're not used to live like we.
Can he practice his religion there?
He doesn't practice. See, he didn't have a chance even to go to Adyam Shaykh. Not for a pension. But he was born almost the first Georgi Bolshevik state. And he's almost raised today as an apostle. Even though he still has a religious faith in himself, and he would like to be a Muslim, but he did not practice.
Well, is his daughter married?
She was married, and she has a baby in the house, she was.
Does she live as a Jew?
Huh?
Does she live as a Jew in Russia?
Yeah, she lives as a Jew, but they don't practice that.
And she doesn't want to leave Russia either?
Daughter maybe would like to leave, but daughter doesn't live with the mother. Mm. And the mother has also a long mother.
Really?
90 years old, so she doesn't want to be born.
I see. Well, why were you able to go to a yeshiva and your brother wasn't?
He's older. Because I want.
If he had wanted it, would he have been able to have a religious education if he had wanted it?
If he had wanted it, he would. Yeah. But he has liked more to make money. It's not just to take money, but
make a living.
To make a living, see, not because when you go to yeshiva, especially at that time, and my parents wasn't so rich to support me there. just with a little help, a couple of rubles a month. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the life in the Yeshivas was very poor.
Very poor.
They used to go to eat, they used to call days. I did that this one, I did that this one, I did that another one. Okay? You could imagine the lamp I used to sleep, it paid 25 copies, like a quarter a month.
A quarter a month to sleep.
So even in that time, it was especially, it was already the time when the First World War started. So the whole life was already.
Rabbi, how old were you when you began learning in the yeshiva?
I started learning the yeshiva when I was 11 years old. So for 2 years I learned the yeshiva and we lived there also.
You lived at the yeshiva?
Not the yeshiva. I lived in the same city the yeshiva.
Oh, okay. You lived in the same city while you went to the yeshiva.
But after 2 years in that yeshiva, I left the city and I went to the yeshiva to Lubavitch. I was in that time 13 and a half years old.
Lubavitch is the name of a city?
Lubavitch is the name of the city of the Lubavitch Rebbe, and he had a big yeshiva there.
I see, and you were 13.
My teacher in that yeshiva that I learned before, he was a pupil from that Lubavitch yeshiva, and he sent me there.
I see.
Well, with this yeshiva, I was connected for 11 years till I left Russia.
Oh, so you stayed at that yeshiva from the age of 13 to 24.
23. See, but she is.
And you only studied religion. You studied the.
The yeshiva, I studied the religion. That's all that I studied, the Tedis. There's plenty to study. No matter how you study, you still could say not didn't study.
What were you studied the Torah all day. From what time in the morning until what time?
We started 7:30 in the morning till 9:30. That was a period of learning. Then from 9:30 till 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Was the time of dining and lunch. Then from 12 to 7 was again a period of learning.
From 12 noon until 7 in the evening?
Yeah. And 7 after. And then again was an hour and a half, about mincha to 8, supper, and a couple of minutes to take a walk. And then again till 10:30.
Until 10:30. It's the way we study today, isn't it? Oh, that's quite a day. 6 days a week.
6 days a week. Friday was a little difference. I had to prepare for Shabbos. So Shabbos, we also has periods of learning. Summertime was from 2 o'clock about to 7. Winter time, in the bars, winter, about 4 or 5 o'clock is already night. So from 7 to 11 o'clock was a period of learning. But it was not day without life. Everything was.
So it was 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
So that you were about 22 or 23 then when you left the yeshiva.
Yeah.
Is that the age that everyone leaves, or did you leave for a specific reason?
Usually they leave the yeshiva after the draft. Russia, everybody was drafted and is 21 years old.
Everyone is drafted.
Everyone is drafted.
The 21.
Not everyone accepted in the army, see? But everyone has to come to the draft board to be examined, to be considered a soldier or not. So after I go through these gates of draft and then I'm ready to the draft board, so the learning was already a little bit not so strong.
How did you avoid the draft?
Now, my time was different, so I came to Lubavitch, it was 1915, the summer of 1915, so just a year after the war, the First World War started. In that year, the Lubavitch had moved out from Lubavitch to Rostov and the Don and the Kazakhstan. So we was for 2 years still in the barrage. And there was a period to go for a year and a half in another city and come back, see. But I went to that city, was Kostya Green. I can't see it, and I went home for a while. And a year later, the whole yeshiva moved from Lubavitch to another city, Tennessee. So it was a boys group of boys that left Lubavitch and came to Tennessee, and they passed the city that I was in that time. So I helped up myself with that group, and it was back in the yeshiva.
I see.
So naturally, I was a lot of times that the learning wasn't such a good order. Because the circumstances. It was the time of the bandits, the mutinies and other.
The what?
Terrorists.
Terrorists. Programs.
It was changed a lot of times because those of the fought with the communists. Yeah. And everything was the suffering fell on the Jewish people. So, it was in the meantime lots of epidemics also between us. And this also disturbed a lot of the time of the life. I myself was twice in typhus.
You had typhus twice?
Yeah.
But people died from that. So you survived it twice.
And then I...
Were you married then?
No, Stephen, I was a boy. I was a boy. And then we moved to Rostov, from Rostov the case to Yeshiva, so we closed up the Yeshiva. Then we moved to Poltava, from Poltava to Kharkov. And so... Then it was the time of the hunger. A lot of boys was placed wrong from hunger. I myself, the left half of the body, was wrong.
From hunger?
From hunger, yeah. But I still didn't live to Yeshiva. And
did you still study? You were starving, but you were still studying.
That's the same thing. The studying wasn't just like the normal times. Yeah? But at least we tried to keep the Yeshiva in case of some change would happen, to be a Yeshiva, not to because have to start all over again to look at worse than it actually. By that time I became Russian, they call it Kurimis Tepata. That means just like a chicken. In the night, she's alive, you can see that.
You could not see at night.
That's chicken doesn't see at night.
I don't know. How do you know a chicken doesn't see at night? Did a chicken ever tell you?
I didn't try to test the test, you see.
I never knew that. Do you mean from hunger?
Chicken, that's their nature, see. Yeah. But by us, it happened. Was some hunger, especially we didn't have any fats.
You had no fat, and that affected your eyesight.
And I was cured just by eating bread and a couple of pounds of fats.
That cured it.
This is just an imagination of what are the sufferings of the hunger. Till we became engaged.
Where did you meet Mrs. Posner?
In a restaurant.
When you were starving?
That time was also not too
good.
You see, her brother-in-law was the Marquis of the Yeshiva.
The head of the
Lady Yeshiva.
Oh,
and the other
your husband. My sister.
Your sister's husband was the head of the yeshiva.
So I came there.
So he was the chaplain to make the yeshiva.
Well, it was a pretty good choice, I must admit.
So he was planning to stay in Russia. Because we only was thinking just about the Rebbe. If the Rebbe is in Russia, we will stay in Russia, but we didn't look for other places. And we was planning about the wedding, and just happened my father was there, sitting to plans, to make plans about the wedding. And we went back home. So terrorists captured that little ship he was going, and they killed all the Jewish people.
For no reason, they simply wanted to kill Jews.
That's good.
So did they kill anyone else on the ship, or
no,
just only the Jews?
Only the Jews.
Eight Jews.
And I found his body 55 days later. So after this happened, my whole mother had a visit to go to Israel, because she has there two sons. So she went already with her mother also. And I remained in Russia until I got from them a visa. A year later I came also to Israel and got married in Israel.
Was it difficult to leave Russia?
To leave Russia was difficult, but the main difficulty was to get a passport. See? So the start of the passport I had to get out, we got two times, because that was hard work.
I worked on it a whole summer. Mm-hmm. A whole summer I worked on it.
To get a passport?
Because
you worked from Israel to get a passport?
No, that was before she left.
Before I left, I knew if I'll go and leave him like this, I'll never see him again.
You weren't about to let a good man get away, were you?
So, we had a house in my city, and it was a law that every house has a book, and in that book should be written everyone who lives in this house.
Registered
in the house. So I registered him, and a month later, I went to ask for a passport. For that reason, we had to bring, to show him that he doesn't owe any money to anyone, the government, no police. Whenever I came, he asked me, how can we believe just a monarchy lives in your house? Maybe he was a speculant.
Maybe he was a what?
He made some business.
Speculation.
Yeah. And he owed some money, like taxes or something. Maybe he killed somebody. How can we do
maybe
it?
I have a police record.
Maybe I have some kind of a record. So I told him he was in the yeshiva all the time. I mean, he wasn't registered any place because it wasn't allowed to have a yeshiva, to be in a yeshiva. It wasn't allowed to have yeshivas that time. And he is a religious boy. And I got engaged with him. And we see that we have no place, no future for us to stay here. We cannot become communists, and the communist regime wouldn't have from us anything. That, this is the reason we decided to leave for Russia.
They were Jewish boys, so she understood, but she was not really what she said.
So they refused to give.
They would not give him a passport, but they would give you a passport.
I had a passport.
Oh, you, this was all to get
my
rabbi.
My passport is all right, but for him, the passport. I had my passport ready right away, because I had the records.
Well, couldn't he use the address of the yeshiva?
Well, the yeshiva wasn't addressed because it wasn't allowed to have a yeshiva.
In other words, they didn't know the yeshiva existed.
No, no.
Yeshiva, and this wasn't in your
city. That wasn't in our city. The yeshiva wasn't in our city. He was in Rostov when I lived in Gomel.
Well, let me ask this question. In order to get a passport, did you have to have a permanent address for a certain period of time?
That's right.
That indicated you were a responsible citizen.
That's right. But he didn't have that.
I see.
And I explained him why.
Because he was the
yeshiva.
Because
he was in yeshiva all his time, all his life.
Wasn't that dangerous to admit that
dangerous,
he was?
It was dangerous. But I couldn't do any other way.
And
I couldn't help.
That means that I was in yeshiva, I was allowed to be in yeshiva.
Why?
Because this is permitted. Adults that I have the right to do with everyone, if I work this line, I work this line. The leaders don't have allowed to keep a yeshiva, to support them, to collect money for this. That's what, see?
You're not allowed to do that.
See, but if I want to sit and learn about it, that's the constitutional. See?
Okay. So it was dangerous to admit that you were in a yeshiva, but you were allowed to be in it as long as they didn't see you trying to collect money for it.
No leadership. Without a leadership.
If they should catch
no leader.
See?
No, you couldn't have a leader.
See?
You could all be there as individuals on your own.
That's everyone it. Could sit and learn. But okay. To have a leader who leads the yeshiva, this is
they, for instance, like here, they should come and fight. See?
Mm-hmm.
So the children, they wouldn't do nothing.
It's of the leaders.
I'll get the punishment.
Okay.
The teachers will get the punishment.
So I went from one place in another place the whole summer. Once I stopped in the middle of the street and I was thinking, what should I do? Should I go home? What should I do? I have no choice. I will have to leave him here or I have to go again to ask. And I came in another place and I met a young man, Kamisar. When I told him the whole story, and he believed me. Then he says, then I came again and says, at least bring him at once. Let me see him. I says, I don't want you to laugh, to make fun of my husband, of my
room.
He goes just like now, with a long, with a little beard, just
a little beard.
A little beard. And I says, I don't want you to make
sometimes
fun of him.
Sometimes I show you the picture.
I'll show you the picture of him. I don't want to make fun of my cousin. And he gave me the passport, and it was
that's
them.
Well, why didn't you want him to be seen?
I felt that I don't want to make fun of him and whatever you say to him, you feel bad. And then I can remind myself now I'm shivering. When I had the passport in my hand, he says to me, will you at least send me the southern fruits?
The what?
From south.
From the
fruit. Oh,
fruit from Israel.
Yeah.
I says, soon I'll close your door, I'll try to forget you.
You said that.
That is exactly these words in Russian, of course, I told them. Я постараюсь забыть вас. Я только закрою дверь, а постараюсь забыть вас.
As soon as you close the door, you're going to try to forget you.
And Now I begin to think he could take the passport and tear it from me. He left. He was laughing. And I ran out and I was shaking. When I came back and I showed the people the passport, no one believed me. They said something is with my mind, a whole summer. They told me I'm out of my mind. Because how could I get that? It was so strict that time. But I didn't have any choice. I know that I have to get a passport, otherwise I have to go away and live here. And that made me to go again and again for a whole summer.
Well then you still went to Israel first, or did you all go together? Why did you go first?
Because I was the passport, the visa was timed.
Oh, I see.
So we left, and then my brother sent him another visa.
Oh, I see. So
we sold out everything. We sold the house, we sold everything what we have. So we didn't have any reason to stay there.
Okay, so you left for Israel, and then how long afterwards did you follow?
A whole year.
You left a year later for Israel. Okay, well, do you want to continue with your story then? Then you arrived in Israel and you were married there.
So the wedding was in Israel, right away. The first time I was a house.
You were a what?
A house. What a house is?
A citizen.
A house. Halutzim. You know what halutzim
is? I've heard the word, but I really don't know.
It worked.
Those are good things just to work.
Oh, you, but instead of studying, you worked for the first time. Doing what?
Knocking stones.
I worked by Hatsas, because that time was no machines to make the little stones to make the
roads.
The roads.
We were sitting in the middle of the street, and a big pile of stones with a little hammer and what's lacking.
I was working by drainage, by the colonization to make.
To make stones for the roads.
And then I dig the canals also for the colony, for the
the pipes?
Yeah, for the pipe for
the sewer lines.
Sewer lines. I was by the treasure, but that was I went to the
field, he works in the field. We didn't want you could go in Jerusalem and learn and they would give us to eat. We didn't do it. Coming from the communism, from that regime, I couldn't understand how can you take money for the sake of sitting and learning. I said, I wouldn't be able to swallow a piece of bread. So I took also how it seemed to make for him dinner, lunches, and I baked bread.
You sold this food?
Yes.
Okay. And so you were both working?
You worked both, until I had a baby. Then he got a job in Rishon LeZion.
Okay. All right, so you were breaking up stones for the road and digging ditches, and how long did you do that?
I did this for a year's time.
For a year.
But I wrote a letter to the Rebbe. I did not have advice, I just wrote him. I know the Rebbe wants to know where I am.
This is the Rabbi in Russia.
And what I'm doing, so I wrote him about it. He didn't like it, I should stay by this kind of work. So I sent a letter from the Rebbe to Jerusalem, because we have Jerusalem, a center of Chabad. All of a sudden they came to me while I'm thinking, and they gave me a job in a Talmudic.
As a teacher?
As a teacher, you know. But I didn't like to see this Talmudic because the other teacher thought I would come and his job.
The other teacher thought you were trying to take away his job. So you weren't happy there.
I didn't want to stay there. So in the meantime, I found a job in Rishon LeZion as a teacher for a couple lessons. Three lessons.
Where did you find this job?
Rishon LeZion. And then I used to help out to the shaykh there. And to live there, over 3 years. And the Rebbe wrote me a letter, and in answer to my letter, he wrote me, not for this purpose I send you to Israel. It's better for you, you should go to the United States of America. If you have their relatives, write to them, they should send you a visit to come to America. I had a Zayden here.
You had a grandfather in America? Really?
So he made papers for me to come. But we still didn't like to leave Israel, even though we lived a very poor life. So we still tried to stay there. I tried some days to get from the river. His consent also, I should stay there a while there. Then something happened that I felt I couldn't stay there no more. And if we would have a future for the children, maybe we would still stay there. Think about our children.
You felt there was no future for them in Israel?
Because we lived in Rishon LeZion.
You lived where?
In Rishon LeZion.
Yes.
Rishon LeZion was a pre-colony.
A free colony.
They had just a government school, and the government school are not religious. They used to teach Chumash, the children with that young kid, the teacher with that young kid. And if we wanted to open a religious headache, we have a lot of trouble from the year to get even permission to do it.
You had trouble getting permission from whom?
To open a religious cemetery.
Who wouldn't give you permission to do this?
The area, the city.
The mayor of the city wouldn't?
Yeah, the area. That's our place.
I wouldn't think you'd have that problem in Israel.
See? And to live there and to send the children to Jerusalem, you know that we wouldn't be able. To move to Jerusalem also, but we weren't going to do Jerusalem, you know? And the Rebbe says, I asked him again once, and see, when I got that job for a teacher in Talmud Torah, and then the job in Rishon LeZion, so I wrote to the Rebbe, now I get a regular job, for not my head, but something religious. But the Rebbe asked me, I wrote you already, that for you it's better to go to America.
I don't want to get away from your story, but how did your grandfather get to America? That was unusual.
He went before.
My grandfather went to America when I was just born.
Really?
So I didn't know him till I came to America.
Did you come to New York? Was he in New York?
My father was also for a couple of years in America. And he came home from America just 3 years before the First World War broke out. And we left America, didn't want to stay here, also because of the children. But he saw he wouldn't raise religious children in America at that time.
Well, that's why your father left.
He was here from 1909 to 1912.
But it was difficult in Russia. Wasn't it difficult in Russia as
when
well?
He came back, it was still before the First World War. But then it was not difficult to Russia to raise plenty.
Before the First World War, you had all the religious freedom you wanted in Russia.
We didn't have other freedoms. Because I didn't have any right to live in certain cities. We have just not everything I do has a right to do it, that you have the right to be a farmer together. These things, see, but nothing goes against religion. So we could be as soon as we were.
They told you what jobs you could do and what jobs you couldn't do, but they never interfered with your religion.
It's not exactly the stuff what you do. Those things that are good are to become a doctor. It wasn't so easy. and tourists to live, like in a city like Moscow. A Jew is allowed to live, but maybe as a, like he's a, how do you call it, like a shoemaker, a tailor. How do you call it? I mean that there's
a small business.
No, well, a profession.
You could not do that. Or
but
you,
without a profession, you could not live in that city. This is a Jew.
So. I see. But could a Jew be a shoemaker and a tailor if he wanted to?
Yes. Not only a shoemaker, other professions also. Any profession. But not as a religious, you could be as much as you want. But then he was killed, like I told you before.
Yes.
So, but the...
So the rabbi told you to go to America, and you went.
All my father's family is in America.
Nice.
Brothers and sisters, everybody was here. So then the rabbi gave me that answer that for me it's better to go to America, and I stood there still a couple of years and I see the rabbi is right. So we went to America.
You went to New York? Hmm?
I came to New York naturally to the Zeta Week. But also the same thing, we didn't like to stay by the Zeta, not doing nothing. Hmm? So we was there only all together about 3 months.
And you couldn't find a job?
And then I find a job in Linden, New Jersey.
In New Jersey?
Linden, New Jersey. 2 hours from New York. The job was $25 a month.
$25 a month?
To be a chef.
To be a what?
To be a chef at the Lachazin in a shoe.
Wow.
So the president of the shoe, he rented rooms in the back of our store for $25 a month.
You earned $25 a month and he took $25 a month. That was nice. That was a nice man.
And then I...
What were you supposed to do for food?
Oh, I got lessons.
I gave lessons.
So I had from the lessons... $14 a week.
$14 a week. How many children did you have?
I had 2 children.
You had 2 children.
And the third was on the way. Kenny was on the way.
We came here in 1920, just right after the crash in Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we have a family, and some of them is rich, and they would like to support us, but we didn't want to accept.
What did they want?
The first 3 months before I got that job, every time they came to visit her, they left a little check, and also, she still had money from the first, she didn't want to accept anything.
And
they left to New York to go to New Jersey. They had $41. So they paid for
41.
A month. So they paid for a month of train. And $16 was in our pocket. To New York. And then I started a little business, shipping and cheese, but.
Stop on the line.
You said you started a business in New Jersey. Can you tell me about that?
Why did you say business?
Go ahead.
See, I was engaged to be a chef there.
Right.
But when I came, I found out the circumstances what the rabbi has against the chef, and why he looked for another chef. Before, I didn't look into much because the rabbi was my schoolmate. He was a long boat, and he was a young boy from the barracks.
In Russia.
In Russia. So if he asked me, I feel I didn't have to ask him any questions. But when I came on the place and I saw that the shepherd is right, not the rabbi, so I said I don't want the job of the shepherd, let him be the shepherd, and I opened a chicken market,
You opened your own chicken market.
We opened our own fish market.
Where did you get the money to buy the chicken and the fish to sell?
The people from the shuls, they saw what going on, see. They didn't want me, I should move away either, see, if I wouldn't got luck to do it. So they built a little place in the back of the shul. When they lent me $200, I should go, nothing.
Why didn't they want you to move away? Were you the only teacher?
They liked it, but they wanted me to stay there.
You were a nice Jewish boy, and they wanted you to stay. Okay. And it wasn't because you were the teacher there, they just thought you were a nice person.
I had a couple of lessons, private lessons.
I see. Okay, so they lent you $200 and you opened this chicken and fish market. Okay.
I didn't succeed too much in the business.
I bet you gave it all away.
Uh-huh.
You gave away all the chickens and all the fish. This is the end of side number one.